Welcome to Cupcakes and Protein Shakes, the podcast that brings you inspiring stories and insight from the world of competitive fitness. I'm your host, Savannah Sharp, previous NPC, bikini national level competitor, WBFF pro fitness model, and posing coach. On this podcast, I share my own journey to the stage and interview other female competitors from all divisions and industries, including NPC, IFBB, and WBFF. Each week, we bring you new episodes full of motivational stories, helpful tips, and real-life experiences from competitors of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, our goal is to provide you the knowledge and inspiration you need to succeed in your own fitness journey. So if you're looking for a podcast that's both informative and entertaining, look no further than Cupcakes and Protein Shakes. Don't miss a single episode. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss out on the latest insights and inspiration from the world of competitive fitness. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so be sure to tune in and join the conversation. Hi guys, welcome back to Cupcakes and Protein Shakes. I am your host, Savannah. We're going to sit down with another athlete. We're going to get into her journey. She has a very juicy story, so I'm excited to talk to her and get to know her a little bit better. So welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to share my journey with you.
Yes. Okay, so introduce your name and then tell me where you're from.
Okay, my name is Julie DeLuca. I'm from Chicago, Illinois, but I live in Naples, Florida. So I'm kind of towards like Fort Lauderdale, Miami area.
I'm very jealous. Yesterday it snowed in Kansas City.
Oh, so, wow.
We're in the middle of winter and I just went outside this morning. It's 20 degrees out.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to the Arnold and I was looking at the weather. I'm like, I don't think I even have clothes for that. So I have to get a jacket and.
Yeah, it's going to be cold, but I'll be at the Arnold. So I will see you at the Arnold.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm going to actually talk to you about, I need a new bathing suit. So.
Okay. Perfect times. So obviously you need a suit because you're competing. And where are you at now? Are you getting ready for show?
Yeah, I'm 16 weeks out. I actually just had my check in this morning. So I'm getting ready for a kind of a warm-up show. Will be the first week of June in kind of near Orlando.
Okay. And what show is that?
I'd have to look back at what the name of it is. Actually, a promoter I've never done before, but we needed something that was 4 weeks before because I didn't want to hang on to the, you know, being lean, stage lean for that long. So,
got it. Okay. So this year, what are your goals with competing?
So this year, I really want to try and earn my pro card. So we're going to start at NPC Universe. It'll be the first show. I am a master's competitor. So I will be, by the time that show is, I'll be 45 years old. Started my journey when I was 43. So it's kind of interesting.
Okay. I would not even guess that you were 35, like maybe. it's hard because everyone in this world looks so amazing. Like it's where that everyone's ageless that you walk around at shows and you're like, I don't know how old anyone is. It's like, we all are shredded, lean and shape. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I emphasize that to people is since I started bodybuilding, I noticed, I mean, my skin, my hair, everything is better as long as you're doing it healthy and with a good coach, I think. I feel like I've only started looking younger and younger every year.
I 100% agree. It's like when I look back at some of my like younger pictures, like I looked fine, but now I'm like, even though I'm older, I'm like, I look way better. It's like, I have my body's better. Everything's better. It's like my skin's better. My hair, everything just looks better. And I think it is through bodybuilding, like what you're eating, it's cleaner. So it's just, that makes everything like, which when it's clean on the inside, everything else, hair, skin, nail, everything just starts growing. And okay, so your journey, it's only 2 years. Is that right? It's only 2 years old.
Really like a year and a half. So it was pretty fast. I listened to a lot of Adam and Ashley's episodes. And like they say, I did come into the sport with a little bit of a benefit. So I started probably when I was 40 doing CrossFit and
Okay.
picked that up pretty heavy. So I came in with a lot of muscle.
Yeah.
So even when I started, when my coach and I first started like interviewing, I didn't know where I wanted to go. If I wanted to go bigger or do bikini, because I didn't really know much. So when we started, we kind of had to see where my body was once I took off some of the weight. You know, like
that's uncommon. It's really rare that you come in to sport of bodybuilding with a lot of muscle. Like it's kind of a backward, you kind of did it backwards where you built the muscle and then you cut. You know, in the sculpting specifically for bodybuilding, because a lot of girls come in and they have some, but they still need to add more or specific to the muscle group. So it is rare if you it's good. Like obviously your journey is fast and it's going fast because you need the muscle. Like part of bodybuilding is it's having muscle. And so I think a lot of athletes kind of skip out on that part. They don't understand. They might just use it as weight loss, which is fine.
Yeah, I get that all. I mean, I have people reach out to me, come up to me at the gym. Oh, I want to look like you. I want to lose weight. How do I lose weight? And it's just, you really want to stress, like having more muscle mass is what will, you know, I don't know, help you lose more weight. Like, I don't know. And, you know, we have to preserve it as bodybuilders, especially when we start like cutting down. So I'm like 5'10" and a quarter. So I have to get almost bigger than other competitors. Because once I lean out, I can look really stringy on stage, which is what we saw at my first show, which was The Clash. So I was in front of Sandy, my very first show. It was huge. I was like, oh my gosh. I didn't really know what I was doing on stage yet. I had a posing coach, but still just, I think you really have to do a show, get through that first one, and then you're like, oh, okay. But she was so sweet. She reached out and she was like, you really have a great structure, but you are way too conditioned. You do not need to be that lean. And I think that's something that my coach, Derek Nature, with Loud, we had to really work together to figure out that balance of like the fullness and, you know, still kind of working on it, but, oh shoot, sorry, something fell over there. We've had to really like play around with my calories, making sure I'm eating enough, and getting into the sculpting just certain areas. So definitely the glutes. She was like, you need to, you know, grow your legs and your glutes. So I didn't have that really. Like, I don't think anybody really has
no
huge glutes, especially when you're, you know, this tall. So we really had to do like a glute transformation.
Yes. Okay. So this is interesting because like your journey is fast. You came in with muscle and then your first show, you got feedback that you were too lean, which is
too conditioned. Yeah.
It's rare. I think a lot of athletes, it's the opposite where it's, you know, get leaner, more muscle, whatever. But it's an easy and it's a hard fix because the line between too lean and too full is there.
Yeah. Especially being my age. I mean, a master's competitor, I can't put on a ton of weight, especially in the off season. I just can't because of my age and like the skin and everything, looks different, and we do look a little harder, especially under those lights. I was like, when I saw the pictures, and I think when Derek saw the pictures, we were just like, okay, we get it. And I had signed up for a show 4 weeks later. So I was like, even though I know my glutes aren't quite big enough, we filled me out. We fed me a lot. And the next show I did end up winning my class. So it was,
it's just, it's a peaking thing too. Like when you're, You just don't know, like the first show, you don't know how your body's going to respond, and you don't know what the judges like on you, because there's certain athletes that they like leaner and there's certain athletes that they like a little fuller. So you kind of, I think I personally like the strategies that me and my coach have always done, like at the very beginning, first of the year, first of the shows, come in too lean, just because it's easier to fill out and it's a lot harder to keep getting lean throughout the year. So it's almost you get a little too lean for the first one, and then you kind of fill yourself out a little bit and then see if there's any room for improvement. It's like, okay, that was too much. And then you kind of find the Goldilocks of, okay, we know what poundage, or we know the weights, we know the carbs that we did, and then they told you we're too lean, so we're not going to be that weight anymore. And now maybe we were a little too full, or we could have filled out a little more. So you take that feedback, and it sounds like you kind of already knew your weakness, which a lot of athletes, you should know your weakness if you don't. And like you can use certain things like filling out, having more carbs to improve your physique, and that's only in 4 weeks. It's not like you had a huge transformation. It's small.
No, it was like a full, I think it was like a 2 or 3 pound stage difference. And then, and that was, it was good, but I still was like, okay, so we took, so then I was like, just because of my timeline is because I'm older, I really wanted to do this fast. So I was like, I want to compete again this year. And he was like, you really have to grow. We're going to have to see an explosion. We're going to have to give you a lot of food, and we're going to have to really, really push it at the gym. And I was like, I'm ready. I love training. And I was like, I want to do this. So I signed up for the Atlantic Coast Tim Gardner show in November. And, that was my goal. I was like, I want to win Masters. I want to win my class. And I want to know that I'm ready to then go to Nationals this year. So we started pushing, and it was crazy. I think I put on like, we really upped my calories. I think I was, ooh, I can't remember the exact number, but I know my carbs were well in like the 300s,
Well, that is
protein
high.
195. And really pushed it. Everything was like to the glutes, to the glutes. And went into that show, and my transformation pictures are like night and day. It was really cool to see. And so I did end up winning Masters, and then I won Open as well in my height
Congratulations.
class. So it was really cool.
Okay, so just before we like jump more into the details, can you talk about the process if you are a master's athlete, where and how you can earn your pro card? Because a lot of athletes don't know the difference between where you can turn pro as a master's versus an open category.
And I had to learn all this. I really didn't know all this. So as a master's, we have to go to Universe. I know they have a master's category there, and I think there you have to win first or second in your class, in your age group. So I'll probably do 40 to 45 and 45 to 50. And then there's Masters Nationals in Pittsburgh after that. So we don't have, we can't go. I mean, sorry, I have to get some water. We can't go to the regular, I mean, I guess I could compete in open, but it is, we look different. And I noticed that in the last show when I was against the, I won my height class, but if you put me next to those girls, they were all in their 20s, I think mostly 20s. And I definitely look very different next to them. So I knew when I went out for the open, he moved me right in, but the girl that won, I was like, it's not really a comparison of our physiques.
It's different, and I've noticed that too. So, open categories is anyone 34 and under, technically, is
Under.
opens, but just because it is the majority of athletes, You can, as a master's, you can be any age and enter the open. It's just
Right.
for the age groups, it's going to be the, I guess, younger athletes are in the open class, but you can definitely, if your physique is amazing, you could be 35 and enter open. And it's really, I mean, it's a small difference.
Right.
But then it's that jump into master's category. So now that you're 35, then you can enter master's classes, but then they go up by five. So there's master's 35 to 40, and then it's increments of, is it increments of five? So it's like
Five.
we got 30 to 40, then 40 to 45, then 45 to 50, then 50 to 55, then 55 to 60. And don't, I don't think there's a 65. There might not be, but there
I don't
maybe.
know, yeah.
But that's how it works. So you can always compete down. You can't compete up, right?
Correct, yeah.
So if
So it's like
you,
I always try to like compare myself though when I do the local shows, compare myself to the younger athletes just to see, you know, and
yeah, because sometimes you can beat them and that feels really good.
yeah. So I'm really excited to go up against some of the best in my age group. I
Yeah.
think it'll be interesting to see like myself next to other 40 and 45-year-olds, and
Yes.
I'm excited. I mean, I hope that I can achieve it this year, but I really am just like excited for to see, yeah, to put myself up against the best.
Yeah. And okay, so like we were saying though, for physique differences. So as you age as a female, I think this is something that I've experienced of being like too soft. And I don't think it's because of conditioning. I was as lean as I possibly could. I think it's based on skin thickness, getting thinner as you age naturally. This happens. And then muscle density. So there's like a different look. It's a harder look when you're, I think it doesn't really happen until like 40s ish, 40 plus.
I think 40 is when I noticed it.
And it's something, I think it's probably hormonally or skin, where like the skin is getting thinner, but the muscles are denser at the same time. Because a lot of athletes, you know, around 40, you've been training for, you know, a little while, or you just have muscles that are of age. So that combination of having a little thinner skin but having the denser muscles, when you can, when, so when your muscles, when you get lean, you can really see it. You can really see
Yeah, I
the
mean, you
details.
can see like every striation. It's pretty cool, but then we really have to be careful. We really have to fill out. It's like, yeah, right now I'm still, oh my gosh, I think I'm at like 50 grams of fat, 320 carbs,
A lot.
190 grams of protein. It's a lot of food. It's to where I'm like, okay, like every day. So he started putting in some free meals too, so that you know, some days I don't have to consume as much food, but just get in some denser meals. So it's nice. It's been nice kind of finding a balance where I don't have to be like stressed out so much about food, but I have to be really careful because I'll just like, I don't, it's hard for me to keep the weight on at this point because with all the muscle and the training and my age, it's stress,
Well,
everything, life.
okay. So
So,
now going back to you and your glute transformation, I want to know what you did in the gym specifically to make those glutes pop.
So a lot of it I found was the mind to muscle connection.
Okay.
A lot. And my coach actually used this machine. I forget, it starts with an N, I should know, like newbie machine or something. It's where they put I've seen Adam's wife has put it on before, but you like put it on sensors on the actual glutes and the muscles. And you know, you do like a lighter weight, but you really feel, okay, that's exactly where I want to concentrate on working that muscle during that exercise. So it was so neat to learn the bodybuilding, you know, because coming from CrossFit, we would just pick up as heavy as weight as we could, and you move it however possible. So if we're using our traps, if we're using our core, any way you can, your legs to move that weight. But so learning like focus just on that muscle, like really concentrate, not how heavy, how much weight can I get on there, but really making sure I feel every single exercise when I'm going through the motion. And then I'll, you know, have days where I would, you know, be under really heavy weights, but I wanted to make sure I was working the exact muscle group.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a, because it's not always hitting. You can't PR every time.
No.
And when you get super depleted, like you don't have the energy. So you have to have that mind muscle. It's that squeeze, like learning to squeeze that right, the right spot and go slow enough where you aren't just throwing up the weights. Cause you know, you could just throw up weights, and, but you're not going to get that sculpting, like really targeting and going really slow. And it's something that you learn from bodybuilding. Okay. You can't just work out like crazy.
Yeah.
You gotta.
Yeah. I see people at the gym.
I do too.
And I want to walk over and be like,
I know. Stop.
Really? You're just going through the motions. Yeah. Slow down.
I know. Like, and I see women, like they have really, really low weights, like 5, 10 pounds, which is fine. And they're doing like squats or something, or like squash with these dumbbells, and they're just jumping up. They're going so fast, and they're just like, okay, we gotta pick what we're doing. We're doing low weights.
Yeah, let's start over.
we're going really fast with low weights. We gotta, okay, maybe we increase it a little bit, go slower. If you're gonna keep that weight, like go real slow and squeeze. Like we can't just be like, woo-hoo. So it's one thing too, like just learning how to specifically hit the glutes. So newbie fit,
yeah, like taking your kind of like taking your gym ego out of it. So I, you know, that was like a big thing for me. Cause I was used to like, you know, wanting to lift the heaviest and I had to find a new gym too, which was kind of interesting. So I was at like one of those, you know, bigger Globo gyms, and I had to look around and find like a bodybuilding gym where there wasn't distractions and people weren't coming up to me. I wasn't worried about like men staring and things like that, because we have to do a lot of weird things with our glutes and you can't be worrying about other factors in the gym. So I found a really great gym that has all like the booty builder equipment, and people are there to train, not socialize. So I was able to get my training done faster too, without all the stuff in the background.
I think that's important. The gym that you select, it does make a difference in the time of day. And I've noticed that recently. So I go to a commercial gym, and sometimes I don't go until after work. It's that terrible time to go. It's the 5 or 6 p.m. window where everyone and their mom is at the gym, and there's like 5 people on one machine. It's hard to get equipment. So you're not going in order. Your rest periods are kind of all
over.
You're
like losing your pump.
And people are just talking and using your machines and everything. So that's something that I've been actually looking for, to try to find a bodybuilding gym. And it does make a difference, because when you can just focus on training, that's what you need, that mind muscle. There's no distraction. It's just, okay, I can squeeze, I can feel it. But then if you're thinking, okay, I got to go find that, like I got to get the equipment and your brain's all over the place. Like if you're really bodybuilding to sculpt, you have to focus. You have to focus on exactly what you're doing, when you're doing. You got to time your rest periods. You got to go in a certain order. You want to make sure, like when you have that pump and you're feeling it specifically in the glutes, like whatever you're doing at that point, keep doing it.
Yeah. And like warming up. So I've learned to kind of like warm up with bands and really like fire up those glutes before I start. So that I'm like, okay, if I'm working the upper glutes, I need to do this band work first. And it lets my body know, okay, this is what we're doing today. Like, I do that a lot with my shoulders too. I have such long muscle bellies, as my coach says, I guess that's how you say it. So like, I really have to pump my shoulders up.
Is that backstage you do a big pump up too?
For my shoulders, yes, I have to. Yeah. We don't do the glutes though at all.
Really?
Just because then I'll start to like striate.
Oh, okay.
So I want that fuller look in my glutes.
Interesting. And do you feel like it's harder for you because you are taller?
Yes. Yeah. I was, it's so hard to, when I compare myself to people, I'm like, oh, like, I know I have more muscle than her, and I know, but she appears more muscular. So that's when, Derek explained to me, yeah, we really have to put on more mass, especially when I think I went from when I started with him, it was a 20-pound difference when I got on stage.
Whoa.
So, I'm sure I lost some mass, but it was just a learning experience. So
What
when
were
I
your
went,
stage weights?
okay, so if I'm 5'10" and a quarter, my first stage weight was 139, which is like, so I did not
That's
look
lean.
in person. I did not look good. I remember putting on like sweatshirts and kind of covering at the end because I was like, I don't want people to think I have like an eating disorder
Yeah,
or
that's for your height. That is really,
small.
yeah.
So then I think then we went up to 142 or 141 for the next competition. And then my last stage weight was 144.
Okay, I'm really glad that you brought this up because progressively you probably looked better, even though your weight
Oh my
was
gosh.
altered.
Yep, so much. And I'm thinking we might even be one or two. We'll have to see. But I'm only like, depends on the day. I would say 7 pounds above stage weight
Okay,
is
you're
where I
close
sit.
then. Yeah.
Close. So, shouldn't say this, but my preps are usually pretty easy at it's just at the end. We'll really dive in and I
Yeah,
don't
you're
do
not
any
doing
I don't
it.
do any cardio.
Yeah,
He
like it
took all my
doesn't.
card he took all my cardio away because he's like, you need to just we want all this food going to your muscles to
Yeah.
growth. So it's
Are you?
hard. It's hard to be like not feel super athletic right now.
Okay,
But
so for like work, like are you active? Like, do you get a lot of steps?
Yeah, so I have my own business. I own a clothing store. And so in Naples, especially right now, we're in season. So I am walking around all day.
Okay.
And I am also a single mom of four children. So I'm constantly on the move until I hit the bed at night, which is like, I go to bed at like 9 o'clock. Like when I shut my door and they're all like, okay, mom's in bed. Don't bother her. And that's
How old
my
are your
time.
kids?
I have twins they just turned 14. They're boys. And then I have a daughter who just turned 12 and another little boy who just turned 9.
How do you do it all?
Well, this is one of the things I kind of wanted to get into because I know people are like, oh, well, I can't work out. Like I have kids or I have a job. And I'm like, I have those,
Yeah.
I think maybe if they were younger, it would be a little harder. But bodybuilding has actually helped me because now I'm so routine. And I noticed when I started it, like everything improved in my life, like being a mom, my business improved, like everything, because I'm so focused and clear. And healthy and feel great. And I kind of have a drive and something I'm working for. And it's my kids get to see that too. Like she can be a mom, but she can also have this like fun hobby that she loves. It might embarrass them sometimes.
Yeah.
The boys with the social media, they're like, Mom, don't post that. Or
I know, like, look at my mom's butt. Like,
yeah. So I try now not to do like the turnaround pose. I'll do like other ones unless it's stage photos, but I try not to, but sometimes you're like, I want to show like my shape. It's so cool.
okay, in your household, what is conversations of food and exercise like?
Okay. It's funny because I remember when I started all this, they were like, you eat so much. My daughter said, you eat so much, but you were so thin. And I was like, I'm glad you noticed that because that's what it takes is we talk a lot about like metabolism and like my body, because I eat so much and because I never crash dieted or did my whole life, I never really like did any of the fad diets or restricted food. So now that I really watch, my metabolism is like in high gear, you know. And the boys, I'm always explaining, they're in sports and we push, we talk about protein and eating, and they eat really healthy. They do. I'm kind of lucky.
That's great, because like you were saying, I think a lot of people want to use their kids as an excuse of, oh, you know, I need to focus on them. But you, like, you can do both. Like, what if you were able to do both and do it really well? Because like bodybuilding, you find a way, and that is sometimes early mornings or late nights.
Yep.
Getting the sleep, it's a priority. Everything's a cycle. Like, mom has to get up at this time to make sure her cardio done. And like,
yep.
being the role model for like your kids when they're seeing it, you don't have to say much. You just,
no,
this is what mom
no.
does. You can pick if you want to have junk food, whatever, but this is what I do. And then like your daughter, I think that's so important to notice of, she's eating more, but she's still like looks good. Like, I don't think we teach kids about that. Like, I never got educated of, if you eat more, you can still look good. No, I don't think that was ever a conversation.
No.
It's always.
I remember thinking, like, when I was her age, like, maybe a little older, but I remember, like, she's in sixth grade, but I remember thinking, like, you're supposed to eat, like, a salad, right?
Yes,
or
a salad.
Yeah. Like a salad, and I don't know, like that's what we thought was healthy then. And I do think like everything's, the world has kind of changed and there is more information out there with the internet and everything, but it's pretty neat to see. But they also see that I don't sit there and say like, oh, I can't eat that, or I don't do like the fear of food. They just know I like to eat healthy, and I do, like when we have a free meal, it's kind of like a fun, like most of the time I include them in it, so that I'm like, where do you guys want to go tonight? You know, Derek said I can go get a hamburger.
It's fun. Like, it's fun just to celebrate together. And I always like to make sure that I don't eat my free meals by myself. Like, somebody eats, because it's not rare. You know, we eat so clean that when we get to have a little something, it's like, oh, it's a special thing. And it's really fun when you can start to celebrate with other people too. Okay. So you own a clothing store and we're competing. What is your like ultimate goals to do with your pro card? Are you planning on like keep going?
It's so funny, because when I started this, it was like, this is going to be a bucket list thing. Like, I want to see, I want to learn about health. I want to see. And now it's like, I have that competitive drive in me and I really enjoy this. So as long as I enjoy it, I think I'm going to keep going. It's funny. I just had that conversation with my coach. He's like, you know, once you do earn the pro card, then it's going to be almost like back to, you know, where then we're going to have to probably grow even more, and back to then you're at the bottom again. And I was like, that's okay. You know, I want to use it to like travel too. I think it would be really neat to go to another, even just another state, or, and do like shows different places.
I always try to pick shows that are semi vacations and fun locations, because why not? Like, why not do both
right.
and pay a little extra and kind of make it fun that, you know, the day after if you can, or, you know, just experiencing some of the cool gyms out there. And like,
right?
that's
I know.
Gets me excited. Like, ooh, look at this fun gym and
yeah.
all the fun equipment. It's like, that's exciting for me. And, you know, being in destination places. But that's the beauty about competing. There is a show every single weekend across the whole world. So you can pick where you want to go and travel with your friends, family, and just meet a ton of different people through it. So I'm really excited to see like where that takes you. And
I think when I met you, I was with at the Olympia, I was with a girl on my team.
Yeah.
And we met, she lives in West Virginia, and we met and we like literally were like best friends now. And so we met there, and she's meeting me at the Arnold. And it's exciting.
Yeah, that's what it happens. It's weird because I don't have a lot of close friends that do this where I
Yeah,
live.
no.
No,
Yeah.
there's nobody
Me
who
either.
does it.
They're all like, you're crazy.
Yeah, you're weird. But then you realize when you start going to different events, it's like, oh my gosh, there's more of us. There's more and more.
Yeah. Everyone's excited about like a new, yeah, we talk about like silly things. Like we get excited about little things. I was just telling her, I'm like, I can't wait to make a new bikini, you know, like I'm excited.
It's the fun part of competing. It's like you do get to have a lot of girls don't get their hair and makeup done except for maybe their wedding and prom or something. Those are like the two times in your life that you're probably gonna pay for hair and makeup, but competing, that's one place where you can feel like a beauty queen. You have your
Yeah.
tan, you got your hair, you got your nails, you got your face, you look amazing. You're in a sparkly bejeweled bikini. You get all those pictures of yourself. Like it's such a fun time. Like, and it's memorable. Like every single time you go on stage, you like always have a great time backstage, like with everyone
Yes.
that you're meeting and that drive where it's a you versus you show because you know,
Yes.
all right, this is what I looked like before, or it's an
I want
experiment.
to do a little better this show, or this is my
Yeah.
goal this show. Yeah, like the last show, I just wanted to win Masters. I was like, I just want to win my age, like up there. And like when I went out there, I was like, they put me right in the center. I think there was two callouts for Masters at that show. And then I realized, I'm like, oh my gosh, they're not moving me. Like, and then you're just standing there, and I was just like, oh my gosh. And then I got off. I'm like, I think I did it. And then I was like, okay, I have to go up now against the young ones. And
Yep.
same thing. I was like right in the center, and I was like, this is just, it was really cool. But other shows where even my first show, like I remember feeling bad for the girls that I could tell weren't enjoying the experience, like having fun. And I don't know. It's like you're probably in it for the wrong reason at that point. I don't
Yeah.
know. I always want to tell people, even the last show, I remember this girl, I saw her throw her medal. I think it was, yeah. So I was just like, I can't believe that, because it's just sad to me. I think show day should be fun.
I agree. I saw this one girl backstage. She got off. She got like third. She literally threw her flowers in the trash or whatever.
It's
And
like, even to get up there, you should be like, I got up there and
I was like, I'm like genuinely congratulations. Like I'm not saying that to be petty or mean. I'm like actually happy for everyone. So I was like, congratulations. She's like, why? I should have won. And I.
Yeah, that's what this girl said to me. Well, I've never had that happen before. Like, I was
Yeah.
like, whoa.
And if you're listening to this, it's important to, yes, set your goals high. And yes, we put a lot of money and time and effort, and there's emotions are high, but never
Yes.
expect that you deserve anything. You don't deserve anything. And
No.
it's hard to conceptualize if I work hard, I should deserve this. That's kind of how we've, like, if you played sports, right? The person that makes the most points wins.
Wins,
Bodybuilding
yeah.
is subjective. So yes, you could have worked the hardest, whatever that means, but that doesn't guarantee you anything. It could be
Yeah.
your best shape of your life in
Yeah, you could be the best version of you. And that's kind of what, if you know, like this was great for me. Like this was the best prep I've had. I looked the best I've ever looked. I feel like that should be like
Yeah.
winning in yourself. I mean, of course it's great to win, especially when you're on, I mean, I'm on a fast track right now. You know, I'm trying to go super fast. I'm not 20, I'm not 30. I'm gonna be 45. So I am on a faster track, but otherwise I would tell these girls, enjoy it. Like
Yeah.
you have so much, and a lot of them probably haven't even had children yet, or like you have to think, I kind of have done all that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it, you know, just talking about it, it's like it's totally different as a master's competitor, because we're usually in it for like different reasons. But then it changes. So now I'm like, okay, now I want my pro card.
Right. It does. Your reason for doing this sport, no, I mean, whatever age it is different, right? Like whether you are, you know, just trying to do it to win or a personal journey or doing it as motivation in the gym or, you know, just to push yourself mentally. There's not a lot of places in life that you can push yourself to these mental tests. Prep is the only thing that I've ever experienced where I can feel really good for every day, every single day.
Yeah, you're like, I got through that day. Like I did that. Like 99% of the population cannot do this mentally. Like I think it's and people will point that out. I'm sure people say that to you. It's like we have to have not only do you have to be tough in the gym, you really have to have it clear up in your head and be mentally tough and strong and ready for a prep. Because if you go into a prep and you're not, everything's not good, you can get thrown off fast.
Yeah. And I've had that happen where I went into a prep a little bit too early and it was my metabolism was in a great spot. I was going to have to push harder than I should have. I should have took more time off, but mentally I still didn't give myself that break that I needed to get excited for it again.
Right now I'm
so excited to start the cutting process. I still have a couple months left of my bulk, but I'm rested. I've had all the foods and all the fun. I've had a lot of strength in the gym. And so when I start my next cut, I am going to take that energy and be able to get through a 3 to 6 month suck, right? It'll be, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 months, something like that, almost close to a year where I've had mentally off. And then you can focus on getting, like, your body just is under, prep is stressful. It's fun, but it is stressful, even if you don't.
It is stressful. And I mean, a lot too is the like, social aspect and like the you have to kind of at the end you're like I feel like I'm always in prep like I have been but like not that last part not that really I would say for me it's probably like the last 8 to 10 weeks but it's like you can't just like go to I mean it's just you can't just go out to dinner or just join everybody wherever they want you to join them and you know like you have to be in bed at a certain time. Everything is important. The water, when you're like in that, the grow phase, you can be a little more lax and you have room and you should. You know?
And that's what I like now. It's that now in my off season, I do decide like if I get a craving, I have the calories to be able to put it in and not feel guilty for it. But still stay on track with my like macros, or I have that, you know, once a week refeed. So I can flexibly, if someone wants to go out to eat or breakfast or someone brings donuts to the office, guess what? I can have it. And I don't feel like I'm missing out. I'll just use that as my refeed calories that day. And that's that. But when
you know that in the morning, the scale might show a little bit of water weight, which is, I've had to learn a lot about the scale.
Yes.
And not focusing on it. My coach is always like, do not let me worry about the scale. Do not worry about it. And I've noticed like it can be like 2 pounds up, 2 pounds down, like in 2 days. Like it's and it's just not important until that very end, you know, and still it's not. It's more the look. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the look.
And it took me a long time to realize that too. The scale is always a struggle. And it really shouldn't be, but as I've been doing this, so you were talking about your weight going up for every single show. That's happened to me. I started 130, then it was 131, then 133, then 135, then at my very leanest, best, most muscular, 137. Then
I saw that and I was like, and you looked, you posted that, and I was like, and you look better.
Yes. Yes. And I looked harder. I looked leaner, but my shape had changed and it was the heaviest I'd been on stage, you know, a whole 7 pounds within, you know, 6, 7 years. And now it's even going, it's a little bit different now because I'm in a different organization, but even then I ended up going to 147. It was a 10 pound difference between one show to the next show. And then I cut down to 141. And so just same, I'm just trying to figure out what that looks like. And even now in my improvement season, I'm at my heaviest weight I've ever been in my whole life. I've been this weight once before, but I did not have this much muscle. So it's a different shape.
It's different. It's a different, yeah. It's like, have you ever looked at pictures? And I remember my coach once, because this was during like that grow phase between, yeah, before the November show. And he showed my weight at 150 at two different times to kind of show me, yeah, like, this is you at 150 when you first started. Now look at you at 150. And it was like, oh my gosh, like, we don't see it.
No, you don't, you can't. It's hard. That's why those progress pictures, they're so important, because you do get,
yeah, progress.
When you just, yeah, look at your physique, and when you think about the scale and you just see the number, you get attached to these random numbers.
We just, no, like, it's like, why am I attached? Like, why am I? Yeah, you have to talk to yourself a lot. Like,
you just think, stop. I thought I needed to be 125 pounds. And that was that number just, I just pulled it out of the air, thin air.
Yeah,
I
thought, where did we get this number from, right?
Well, I saw a lot of other IFBB pros that was around their stage weight. So I go, oh, that's what the pros are. That's what I should be. So then I thought, mm-hmm, I need to be that, but I didn't realize, okay, these girls are 5'2", 5'1", 5'3", 5'4", 5'5". And I'm still shorter than you. I'm 5'7", I'm almost 5'8", but still,
it's still tall.
Yeah. It's still, and so I was like, I found people. So I even found girls that were my height, but their stage weights were my stage weights. So I'm like, well, I guess I have thicker bones. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's you kind of have to let go of it. Bodybuilding, it's going to teach you that, you know, less isn't better. You ideally want to be as heavy as possible on stage, because then you have muscle.
Yep.
You, yes, really shouldn't, yep, be the lean. If they tell you to come in leaner, yes, okay, yeah, whatever, that's important. But ideally, you should try to, if they tell you to build more muscle, then you want that scale to go up.
Yeah. Yeah, even the last show, I remember, even though I won, I still wanted the feedback, because I was like, here's my plan, here's where I'm going next. And they were like, okay, they were like, you look great, but you got to keep growing just a little more. I was like, okay. And then the next judge was like, you're borderline too hard. And I was like, okay, so I have to grow. But, you know, it's like, you sit there and you're like, okay, so what am I going to do?
It's an experiment, because
so hard. It's so hard.
Like, a judge is going to tell you what they think, but that might not be what actually ends up working. And that's
right.
Where it's hard. It's like, okay, yes, take the judge's feedback with a grain of salt. You and your coach have a game plan. So if a judge tells you leaner, fuller, whatever it is, you have to incorporate that. But you can't take it, they told me that I needed to put on size and come back 10 pounds with more muscle.
Right.
And you're going to be way out of the category, way out of it, right? When they tell you just to put on a little bit, does that mean, okay, next time I need to really pump my shoulders up before?
Yeah.
Or let's peak differently. Let's really fill me out with carbs and still focus on building just a tiny bit of muscle. So maybe, yeah, I change the exercise selection, or maybe I work out less, but I lift heavier, or something like, yeah, that. That's fun for me, because it's always changing.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. It's like a little project right now, which I think is fun. It's like, we're tweaking, and right now we're focusing, because I did come in with really strong obliques from CrossFit, and a wider waist, yeah, from lifting so heavy. And so right now, when I would fill out with too much food, you know, then you get, especially after you've had kids, like, your stomach, it's harder to control and hold my stomach in and make sure all that's looking perfect. So the goal this time is to really shrink my waistline. So I waist train every night. I sleep in it for 8 hours.
Ooh, okay. Hold on.
Yeah.
All right. Everyone.
So we do, okay, it. Yeah, we do it at night. And I'm going to say, so my waist was like 27 and something, and I'm a little under 25 inches now.
Okay, my waist is like notes right now, just to let you know. Okay, sleep in waist trainer.
Yeah, like okay. I just can't. I don't know if it works for everyone, but it is like my waist has gone in. So I don't wear it training or anything, but I wear it when I sleep.
What type of waist trainer?
I do the Squeeze Me Skinny.
Okay.
So I started with a medium. That's how like wide my waist was. And I have an extra small one now. Like I had to order it. It worked, but you have to be so consistent, and obviously you have to be, you know, eating right and everything too. But I can like hold, when I pose now, I've noticed I can hold my waist in, like I can hold my stomach in now. Like I kind of understand how to do that. So if he was like, let's just try this. Sometimes it'll wash out your abs. And he's like, if we see that, and then we're not going to do it. But it hasn't really done that.
Well, I'm glad that you're saying this, because there's so much controversy about waist trainers. There is. And it'll squeeze your organs, because I'm pro waist trainer. Squeeze your organs, not healthy for you, blah, blah, blah. But I'm telling you, it works. And we're not lying. But it works with diet, exercise. It works. It's just an added tool. And it's not going to, if you just waist train, it kind of will. But if you are competing where your physique is important, having a small waist isn't important, you're getting inches, like you said, 2 inches. So that's
2 inches. I think I've been doing it since December.
It's not a lot of time, but 2 inches, that is significant. That is
it's significant in my pictures. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Structurally, that is like, if you could get 2 inches on your glutes or on your waist or your spine, that is a lot when it comes to shape and on stage. 2 inches is a lot. And so that, like, you're going after inches in a physique sport. You're trying to visually look and create shapes where you have the shape. And how do we create the illusion of a small waist, or actually having a small waist? It's you got to build those shoulders up bigger, so our waist looks smaller, and we want our glutes to project out more, so our waist looks smaller, or we can bring in the waist.
Right. So it's I can't really, my back is way overdeveloped in my trap. So I couldn't really sit there and build that out more. And like my glutes are going out. So it was like, when I looked at the last stage photos, I was like, I got to fix my waist. Like that's what I have to fix.
Okay. I'm doing this.
Cause otherwise I'm on stage like trying to like turn and pose.
I'm sure there's some doctor out there that's going to hear this and be like, oh my God, your breathing and your organs and your digestion. Do you have any issues digesting food?
No. None. Right. I'm eating, and I know there's all controversy on how much protein, but you have to remember I'm a bigger girl. So I have to eat a lot of food, and you know, I'm not 125 pound competitor. I'm 155 pound competitor. So I put in a lot of food, and the protein I had to play around with so that I didn't have digestion problems. So like in one meal has the protein powder in it, another meal has egg whites, and then the rest will be, usually I stay with chicken because I've learned that that's just good for me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm the same way. I'll have my breakfast, it's like a protein powder, and then I have like a Ninja Cream. So I have like protein powders, is it, or I'll use an egg white source. And then I have my like lunch and dinners with actual meat, and I'll rotate between ground turkey, lean beef, or.
I think you have to like play around with for digestion purposes. And I take like a fiber, it's in my, it's like a little, who makes it, Project 80. It's like a fiber drink in the morning. And I put that in like a greens blend also. So it kind of keeps me regular too, because I don't eat enough fiber in my diet. I do mostly like cucumbers, asparagus bothers me. So yeah, it's mostly cucumbers for my greens part.
It works for you.
But it works, you know. In the morning, I'll do spinach. I do that protein, that pancake that Laura Lee posts. I do that in the morning now. And I love that. It really fills me up.
I used to do like the whole pancake, spinach, egg whites, protein powder, whatever else. Oats sometimes blended.
I put my oats in it. Yeah.
It's really good. Like it's, it's actually
really good. It looks gross. Like, but it's really good. My kids even like it. They started asking for it. I'm like, just try it. And now to get like more carbs in, like I've had to add, like I put honey on things because I can't drink the intra carbs. Those do upset my stomach. So, but back to the weight training question, no problem with the digestion.
Okay.
Nothing.
But consistency,
I don't notice anything.
Consistency I know is important because I ran an experiment where I stopped wearing my waist trainer to see if it would make a difference. And it did. I was probably an inch up on my waist measurements, but I didn't really experience anything differently. Like I didn't think my abs didn't get stronger. My weights, it didn't really do anything, but I did, my waist kind of got, it went back to its normal state when I
to its normal. And I think it will. It's probably not a permanent
solution.
I don't know. Maybe it is.
I don't know either. I'm
always just gonna keep going with it until
if it's working. And I've done the squeeze me skinnies. I have them, but I have them in different sizes because my waist naturally gets a little bit thicker in the off season. So sometimes those extra small ones, I only will be able to get into them when I'm leaner and my waist is going down anyway. So I have different ones that I'll use. Like I have three different ones. I have the extra 3X small, 2X small, X small, whatever it is. And so I'll have my off season one. Then it's like the beginning of the cut. Then at the very end, if I can get that, you know, the notches in there where
it, oh my gosh. And learning how to use it is like, whew. And I mean, it is uncomfortable. So and bodybuilding is uncomfortable, right? So it's like, you kind of just have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. If you want, like, you really want it, I always tell people, like, you'll do it. You'll sleep in a waist trainer. I mean, I don't have a husband laying next to me, so I don't know if that would be something. It's just me. So I'm like, I guess it's not a, my lifestyle allows for this right now. Yeah. So
I like it. Okay. So is there any other piece of advice or anything about your fitness journey that we haven't gotten to that you wanted to talk about?
Not really. I think we talked about most of the fitness journey. I will say though, like if there's anyone out there that's 40 and they're like, oh, I can't start now, I'm too old. I did not start working out until I was 40 years old. Well, that's wrong. So like 38 or 39, I walked into my first CrossFit gym. So I did, I was a dancer. I danced for the University of Kentucky. And then I went on, I was a Atlanta Falcons cheerleader after that. So I cheered, but that's not like I wasn't like in a sport or I wasn't used to going to a gym. I had never lifted a weight. I was just naturally like, had like a okay body, you know? So after I had like my kids, I was like, I really want to get in shape. So it's never too late to start. And I think people need to know that, you know, I hate when I hear people say, well, I just need to get in shape first. Right? No, just start, just do it.
Yeah.
You'll be amazed. I mean, as long as you're consistent, you can change your body when you're 40.
Yes. Yes. And I like 40, 50, 60, 70. It does not matter when you're starting. It matters that you're starting.
So, right.
And I tell my mom this all the time. I'm like, she's 55 and she's stubborn. She's like, oh, I'm too old. My body's different. When you're older, you'll understand. I just don't have that energy. I'm not strong like you. It's like, you're not strong because you don't train. So you could get strong, but that's, it's a different thing too. So I'm glad that you're able, like, obviously, like, I can see your shoulders right now. They look really good. I can see your abs coming through. They look really good. So yeah, it's never too late to start. And it's just simply going and being consistent with it. It does take time. So don't expect overnight. It does take time.
I would say it was like four years of muscle growth.
Yeah. See, okay.
I mean,
that's what
to you're get like this physique was like 4 years of building muscle.
And I know when people hear that, they like, they might think, oh my God, I don't want to waste, like, oh, I don't have 4 years or whatever, but it just starts small. Like, I remember when I first started, within 4 weeks, the water weight was gone, that bloating was gone. I started drinking a gallon every day and just working out 5 days a week and just doing a little bit of cardio. That first 3 days of just being consistent on nutrition, water, and training.
My coach was like, when he did the intake, you know, he's like, you have to be honest. I was like, I drink wine every night. He's like, okay, well, I was like, it's hard. Like, I come home and I have to like decompress and then the kids. And he's like, well, how much wine? And I'm like, well, you know, it's like you start with one glass at 5 o'clock. And then it was like, before you know it, you're three glasses of wine by the end of the night. I mean, do you know how many calories that is? And then you're bloated and then your skin looks bad and just everything. Like, it's just, it was night and day. I think it was like within like the first 2 weeks, my weight dropped so fast. And I was like, I really think it's like, I just cutting that alcohol out alone was huge and putting the water in. I never drink water.
Yes. A lot of people don't drink enough water, and it's, the alcohol is so big, and it's the first thing that people don't want to give up.
I know, but people have to experience life without alcohol. It's like, and I still drink. I'm not saying I don't drink.
Yeah.
Like, I'll go out, I'll put it in now if I'm gonna, sorry if my coach is listening. No, he knows, but I mean, I'll have like, if we have a celebration or I have like a free meal, like I will have a glass of wine or I'll have a martini or something every now and then, but it's not something I abuse or.
Yes. Yeah. It's prep. It just teaches you the importance of like the day before, what your decisions of the day before impact your training. So I know today, if I ate like shit and I drank and I didn't get good sleep yesterday, I'm not going to be my best and be able to perform today. No. So it's
like,
just,
imagine how you feel like when you're at the gym hungover trying to lift weights. Oh my gosh. I remember after like New Year's this year, I went out and I was like, I can't train. I just physically like, and I was like, I can't believe I used to just function like this.
Yeah. I was the same way where it was like going out and binge drinking. It wasn't every night, but it was like, you know, once or twice a week where go out and just drink heavily shot, like mixing alcohol makes me sick, makes me want to throw up.
Chicken fingers and fries.
Yes. Going out. Like going out is one thing, but then it's like staying up late and eating greasy fried food late at night. Your digestion is thrown off. Your sleep is thrown off. The next day you're dehydrated. If you don't get enough water in, you feel crappy. Your mood is not great. You just are grouchy and mean. And so the only thing that would make you feel better is if you drank again, and then it's this whole cycle.
Or ate bad food. Yeah. It was horrible.
And it starts, so it's the same, it's the opposite, right? So I drink a gallon of water, which makes me feel good. So I want to continue to feel good. So now I have energy and I want to train, and that made me feel good. So I want to eat good. And then it just keeps on going and going and going. So I'm glad that you're able to share a little bit about your journey. I have one final question for you. Are you team cupcake? Are you team protein shake?
Protein shake. I don't like sweets. I'm one of those weird people. Oh, I never did. I know.
It's okay. That's all right. But if you were, or what is your favorite brand protein? What is your favorite type?
I drink that. I think it's called like Gold Standard, the vanilla cupcake one. I've always, it's like birthday or vanilla cupcake.
Yes.
Flavor. Good. So I love it.
Okay.
Yes.
And if anyone wants to follow up with you this year or watch your journey, where can they find you?
I'm on Instagram. I think it's public now, which was a little nerve-wracking for me, but it's Julie_Taylor_fit. So that's my maiden name is Taylor. So
all right. Well, thanks for coming on and sharing your story with us today.
Thanks, and I'll see you at the Arnold. We'll have to design a suit.
Yes, I'm gonna have it's the Arnold is gonna be such a fun time.
I'm so excited.
We're gonna be there. Are the fashion shows obviously going on, but like booths, I have all the velvet bikini, like all the posing suits and different things.
Oh, I saw those. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and I'll have all my colors, so we'll have to pick.
Excited. Yeah, yeah. I was gonna bring I'll bring the color that they kind of said to stay with, but I've never had like a really nice suit. they were like, okay. So I'll kind of bring it and we can play around and that'll be fun. I'm going to be working at a booth as well. A powerlifting booth.
Oh,
so,
what booth?
I know. So, yeah. They're like weight belts and stuff, but
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. If you guys are listening to this, the Arnold is a really good time. So we'll obviously be there. Come say hi to us. And like all the expos, I just like to try protein things. So I love
my friends like that too. When she walks around, I'm like, you're making me sick.
I know.
Try all these things.
I know, like all the protein. It's like, okay, I want to try this protein bar and this Pop Tart and this whatever.
Remember those little, like, there was like these little pancakes at the Olympia.
With the chocolatey things in them.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I made my friend go up. I'm like, you have to go up because I'm like 6 feet tall and they're going to recognize me.
Yeah. I know.
You go get
it. Like, hey, can I have another round of these? They're really good. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you for coming on.
All right. Thank you, Savannah.
Thanks for tuning in to Cupcakes and Protein Shakes. I hope you enjoyed today's episode and feel motivated to take on your fitness journey. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. If you want to stay up to date with my fitness journey and get more tips and inspiration, follow me on Instagram at Savannah Sharp Fitness and subscribe to my YouTube channel, Savannah Sharp. And if you have a moment, please leave a rating and review of the show. Your feedback helps me create better content and reach more people who need it. Remember, no matter where you are on your fitness journey, you are capable of achieving your goals with hard work and discipline. Keep pushing yourself, stay motivated, and never give up. Thanks for listening, and see you next week on Cupcakes and Protein Shakes.